Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Hey there, radio audience. This is Mama Mac, along with my wonderful co-host, the famous, the amazing, the wise Dr. Angel Falzoni. Hello, doctor. Glad to have you here.
Oh, good evening, Mama Mac. Woo, that's quite an introduction there.
Yes, you got to live up to that, girl. This is Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life. And that's what this show is all about. Not striking out, but instead really hitting those home runs and learning how to handle problems in our lives. It's a life coaching show, isn't it, doctor?
Yes, it is. And it's helping us to live the best life we can.
There you go. Why not? Live with passion and purpose, right? Isn't that what you say?
That's the mantra, yeah.
There you go. Passion and purpose. So that's what we're all about. And so we try to have a lot of different topics that will appeal to a lot of people. And sometimes one show may appeal to someone more than another. We have all of our past shows through September now on our website, goyard2014.org. So go there and catch some of those shows and invite people to listen. Tell them all about it. Goyard2014.org. And so if you are in the Tampa Bay area right now, as we are live right now in Tampa Bay, you can actually just call in, or you can listen on the computer, tantalk1340.com. You can download the app TuneIn Radio. There's a lot of ways to listen. And if you want to get involved and call during the show, we want to hear from you. 727-441-3000 is the call-in number. And we welcome people to call in and text or whatever, ask questions or comment, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. We love it.
We love it. And every once in a while, we have one of those Q&A shows, don't we?
We do.
And what happens then, doctor?
Oh, that's when we compile a lot of questions that our listeners have emailed in or text messaged in, and we answer them.
We answer them.
Live on air.
And a lot of them are pretty interesting scenarios.
You know, when I roll through them, I really look for sometimes the more challenging ones.
I think the more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're there. And if you want to send your question in, go ahead. goyard2014@gmail.com is our email, or you can text us, and it comes directly right here to my phone in the studio, 727-888-4171. If you're listening on Starcom Media Network right now, welcome. We're glad to have you with us. And if that means you won't be listening live, so the best way to communicate with us with questions, etc., is to use our Google Voice number, which is 727-888-4171. So do that. We want to hear from you, and we want to start adding up these new questions for our next Q&A show. Tonight, doctor, what are we talking about?
Ooh, this is a hard one. This is definitely deep. People-pleasing.
People-pleasing. I didn't know anybody wants to do that.
You know, a lot of people do. When they get stuck in it, it's kind of a web.
Oh, it is. Yeah. All right.
Overcoming people-pleasing syndrome.
I don't know that it's a syndrome, but it's certainly a problem that a lot of people deal with. Don't you think, doctor?
Oh, absolutely it is.
And last week we talked about overcoming insecurity. And, you know, that was a really good show. We've heard a lot of response from that. That was a good show.
That was a great show. And this kind of really segues into it, because sometimes one of the reasons why people get stuck trying to people please is because of insecurity.
Absolutely.
Not the only reason, but it can be a reason.
They kind of flow together, don't they?
They do.
So how would you define people pleasing, Dr. Angel?
Well, people pleasers want everyone around them to be happy.
Oh, to be happy.
And they will do whatever is asked of them, putting everyone else above themselves.
Whoa.
That's kind of what it is. It's just trying to keep peace everywhere.
Keep peace everywhere. Keep everybody happy. Juggle all the balls in your life, all the people and all the situations. And the problem a lot of times, doctor, in my opinion, just as a casual observer to this situation that I have observed many times through the years, is that you can't really please all the people all the time.
It's impossible.
Would you say that's correct?
It's impossible to please all the people all the time.
You can't please all the people all the time.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because it doesn't matter who you are in life, what you do in life, what stance you take on something in life, there is going to be haters. Haters are everywhere. Or just people who aren't pleased.
Right.
And so it's not going to happen.
Taylor Swift's song, Haters, comes back to mind right there.
We've used that several times, it's so true.
But it applies, because there's so many times that no matter what you do, it's the old thing. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't, you know?
And it doesn't matter what you do.
Right. You can't make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. But people, they drive themselves nuts, Dr. Angel. I have seen this with people through the years, that this is a real problem in a lot of people's minds and their emotions and their daily lives.
Oh, absolutely. It totally impacts so much of their lives.
Right.
And so one of the things is, and I think one of the reasons people want this peace and everyone to be happy with them, it's an unattainable goal, and they take it personally. So if you disagree with me or have a different opinion than me, then I'm wrong or I'm bad or it's something bad about me, instead of just taking the viewpoint, we just have different views.
So people pleasers tend to want everybody to be happy with them, correct?
Oh, yes. And they just want peace. No conflict.
No conflict.
So
that is not realistic in life.
No, it's not.
Not in the best of families. I'm not kidding you. You cannot always have everybody on the same page.
Doesn't happen.
No, and it shouldn't really.
Well, and we've talked about this on many shows, but conflict can be very positive in relationships and allow for growth. And so the absence of it's the detriment of relationships. So people pleasers usually have poor quality relationships.
Right. And they are constantly busying themselves trying to make everybody happy. So what happens to their own level of peace and contentment?
Oh, they don't have any peace. And it's like they self-sacrifice all of their peace and contentment and lay it on the altar for everyone else to try and be happy, which isn't attainable. So this is unrealistic goal that could never be.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. We haven't discussed this. We do these shows just live, don't we? And
yes, ma'am. We
don't know what's coming next. But it's been my experience through the years that people pleasers tend to actually be people who are somewhat very bitter and unforgiving and resentful.
Sometimes they can absolutely.
I have seen that. Is that correct, doctor?
Yes, because they become like this martyr.
Right.
I'm doing this and this and this and this and this, and nobody cares about me, and nobody loves me, and no one thinks of me. Well, you know what? We're going to stop that, because we have to think about ourselves.
Right.
And we're going to get to that as we get to overcoming. But the problem with it is it's like an addiction.
Yes, it is like an addiction.
People pleasing, it can make an individual feel that they need to be needed.
Ah, there you go. Boing. There's a bell ringer right there, because that's a real big part of people pleasing. They need to be needed. And as a result of that, they'll go to all lengths sometimes to try to balance all those balls like a juggler, right?
Oh, very much so. So what happens is they're basing their self-esteem, their self-worth, their self-concept on this need to be needed. So
right.
What are they going to start looking for in relationships?
People who need them.
And so they'll find friendships and relationships that are destructive, because it's going to be where you need me, because I need to be needed. And they become very unhealthy.
And honestly, there's an awful lot of people in this world that really are almost, they may not consciously be thinking about this, but they're needing a people pleaser in their life. They're needing a codependent relationship, somebody that is going to give them everything they need, right?
Well, they think they need that, and that's what they look for. So
you have
you have this person who has lots of needs, and then you have this person who likes to fill needs because they need to feel needed in their relationships, and they hook up, and then it can be very disastrous and destructive.
And a lot of it, in my opinion, is a need for attention. It's not always a need to have somebody babysit your kids or whatever. It's a lot of emotional stuff, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. There's
need
a lot.
Need to be flattered. Need mm-hmm. to be, oh, you're beautiful. Oh, you're so beautiful. You know, stuff like that.
Absolutely. And so it feeds that self-value, because it makes them feel important as a person. And like what they're doing is contributing to the lives of others.
Right.
And so, you know, it does feel good to help other people.
Yeah.
But people pleasers take it to a different level, because they do it at the detriment of themselves or their own obligations and needs in their lives.
But you see, they do that because they're getting something out of it, right, doctor?
Oh,
there
yes.
is a benefit for the people pleaser.
There's always a payoff.
There's always
a payoff.
And the payoff
is, you need me, so I feel valued, so I'm going to do this,
right,
no matter what's going on. But then I'm going to complain about
but
it.
But then, there you go. You just beat me to it. Bang. But then I'm going to complain and be resentful, but I'm going to try my best not to let you know that I'm resentful or that I'm complaining behind your back.
I'm not letting you know, but I'm going to let
everybody,
these 25
else,
other people my, know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, my 250 Facebook friends know. And not mention your name,
no.
But really, you know, make sure.
You know,
that
my friend with the three boys kind right. of mentality.
Have you had that happen to you, doctor? Well, you with the three boys? But anyway, so the people pleaser does not want conflict, correct?
They don't want conflict. In fact, they avoid conflict at all costs.
Okay.
For most of the time.
All right.
So... they're going to do anything, and there's almost not a lot of limits or boundaries when it comes to people-pleasing, depending on the degree the person sucked into this pattern.
Okay, so the person who is actually doing the people-pleasing finds a victim, quote-unquote. That's not a good word for
no,
it. But finds
a person who has needs.
Okay, all right. So, there you go. But the person who has all those needs that and finds this person who can fulfill those needs sometimes doesn't feel really good about that dynamic between the two of them either, right? Do you know what I'm saying?
Did I make any sense? You know, and here's the deal. When people have a lot of needs, you know, we need to be able as humans to work through our own needs. That's
right.
How we grow. That's
right.
How we learn. That's how we gain strength. When
sure.
We talk about gaining strength. You have to use those muscles to gain those muscles. And so if I have someone else filling all those needs and doing it for me all the time, I've never learned how to navigate my own life issues. I'm growing weaker as a human.
There you go.
And then the person who's meeting all my needs is growing weaker as
right.
a human because they're not taking care of their own.
Okay. I agree with all that, and I do believe that an awful lot of people are this way from a young age. Would you? And I know you work with children and teens a lot in your practice. Would you agree with me, or am I wrong on that?
Oh, absolutely. It definitely has roots that can go all the way back to childhood.
Okay. So the baby that's allowed to that never is allowed to cry himself to sleep, etc.?
Or just kids learn at early age, when I do something to help somebody, it makes me feel good about me, and so they'll start helping all the time, and then they learn to set those boundaries, and it has becomes their life of people-pleasing. So there's
right.
two aspects, and then you're right, and then you have parents who'll have lots and lots and lots of children because they keep needing people to need them.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I know one parent who has adult children. I mean, talking adults in their 40s and 50s, and their kids can't write checks. They still have to go to their moms to write their checks.
Yeah, I know. I've had situations like that in real estate where we've got that kind of a control from the matriarch in the family or whatever.
But that's that whole people-pleasing that need to be needed.
The control thing, yeah. And so that person really exercises that control over the family, and so many of those people under that person need that interaction, need to be told.
Right, because they haven't had to do it, so they
right.
don't have that muscle. And so
wow.
it's a very
wow.
destructive pattern. Mm.
Yeah, it is. It is much more so than we think, don't you think? Because what you're talking about is stunted growth, if you ask me. Emotional, stunted growth, correct?
Absolutely.
Not being able to stand on your own two feet and handle your life or your situations without having to have somebody tell you what to do.
Or not handling my own life situations because I'm so busy handling someone else's life situations.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one, too. So being so caught up in somebody else who needs you.
Yes.
So why not, right?
Absolutely.
Is there any anxiety connected to any of this people-pleasing, would
you
say?
There can be a lot of stuff connected to this. There's a lot of characteristics of people-pleasing. People-pleasers, they take value in taking care of people, but
yeah.
they do it to the point that it's self-destructive, and that's what we keep trying to put the point on. This is destructive.
Right.
People-pleasers are oftentimes more concerned with other people's pains and
right.
concerns than their own.
Right.
So it's putting, you know, when we live in this wonderful culture, and it's great, you know, put people first, but they're doing it at their detriment. They're doing it at the cost of themselves.
But the person who's the people pleaser loves the adulation, loves the...
The savior mentality.
Exactly. The savior mentality, the rescuer. And they are constantly coming to the aid of the underdog or the person who... needs help or whatever.
And they, and then you'll see this, like, they'll be, you know, the friends that maybe you're having lunch with and they're so busy, someone else is in a crisis that they're not really there with you having lunch.
Right.
They're on the phone dealing with someone's crisis.
Right.
You know, so it hurts relationships all over the place. And it can happen with between friends, spouses, kids to parent. Like, there isn't any relationship this dynamic can't seep into.
Very serious. What we're talking about here, very serious and also very common, would you say, doctor?
Oh, absolutely very common.
Okay.
It's very common. You know, they're working to maintain the social harmony. So they're wanting to avoid that conflict and gain acceptance. That's what they're striving for, acceptance. That's the goal of people pleasing.
Right.
So it's that acceptance. So most people pleasers often are fearful of confrontation and will just agree. And say yes to anything, almost, just to avoid something uncomfortable or an argument or you thinking negative of me.
Right. So they're just going to go along with whatever so that everybody keeps the peace. There's no problem.
Absolutely. And so they're over committing themselves to things that they can't possibly humanly get done.
Right.
And so
let's say this is a parent. Okay. And there are kids involved, and the kids realize, wait a minute, I need to spread my own wings. I need to learn, I need to get out of the nest, or I need to make my own decisions or decide what college I want to go to or whatever the case may be. I think there's a lot of parents in our nation that try to control things for a long time in their kids' lives, don't you?
And they're not ready to let go and let their kid grow and develop in his or her own person. And that's very challenging.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
Wow, this is a real problem, people pleasing.
Mm. Yeah, and to talk about your anxiety, absolutely. It can create a lot of anxiety because here's the problem. I'm constantly overwhelmed. First of all, I'm trying to do way too much than I can humanly do.
You mean you, meaning a
person who is a people pleaser. If I'm a people pleaser, I am doing way too much, and I'm feeling anxiety in regards to trying to do everything perfectly. So not only do I have to do it all, but I have to do it all right.
Oh, my.
And so I might commit to things that I really don't know how to do or I'm not capable of doing or I don't have the time to do.
Okay, that brings up an example. What about the parent who wants their kid to be so successful in straight A's that they stay up all night doing the homework of the kid? They are the ones that are doing the research project. They are the ones doing the science fair project. Because I've seen this for years with people.
Oh, that's very common.
It's very, very common because the goal is we want everybody to like our kid. Oh, look at your kid. You won the honors here at science fair. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because as a parent, when your kid does well, it's your reflection.
It's reflection, yeah.
And so absolutely they can. Kids are definitely easy to see this between that parent-child relationship.
Right.
And so they just believe that I'm just investing in my kid and I'm such a good parent. I'm there for them and I'm handling it, but you're keeping your kid from learning.
Right.
And learning time management and learning how to do research or learning whatever it is they need to learn through that project.
But this is a common problem with parents.
Oh, it is.
Or the parent, and I had this in my situation when I was married, that a mother-in-law thought she was the one who should intervene on punishment of kids when they misbehaved. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what my ex-husband and I did, it was not right. And so there would follow this, you know, the control thing of trying to get it to be the way she thought it would be, you know?
Yeah, it can definitely, I told you it's destructive.
There's not much good
when we take it to this level.
Yeah.
You know, people pleasers just, they tend to be so focused on taking care of others, they oftentimes, they feel guilty or selfish if they do something for themselves.
Wow. Yeah.
And so that becomes part of my identity or part of who I am. So if I'm wanting to go home and go to bed early because I'm exhausted and I say no to picking your kid up from karate practice, I'm the one who feels guilty. But this is your child that you signed up for karate practice. It's not my responsibility.
But that's a real good example because I was there years ago with the carpool and the whole shebang. And I know it's hard for some parents to say no to their friend. Mm-hmm. No, I can't pick your son up. We've got this other thing going on, or I just can't do it tonight. Right?
Absolutely. And that word no, that's the key to this. You know, that word no is very hard. So everything's yes, yes, yes. And they wear themselves out. People pleasers, They create a constant state of stress. You want to talk about chronic stress? People pleasers are number one in this category because they're just trying to be all things to all people.
Right.
Nobody can
do
that.
But you can't do.
We don't have the big S under our clothes. You know, the Superman, Superwoman. None of us can do this.
No.
So, you know, when we're working towards these impossible, unattainable goals, there's nothing but frustration, anxiety, stress.
And so they lay awake at night wondering how they're going to get this done, this science fair project, or this done, or that done, and because they can't let people down, right?
Absolutely. They don't want to let, because if I let people down, then you might think bad of me. Mm-hmm. So I care so much what you think of me.
Right.
I cannot give you any ammunition to think negative.
Ooh. This is huge.
It is. It really is.
This is really, really huge.
Yeah, here's the key. They yearn for outside validation.
Okay.
So I'm valid. I get my validation when I'm doing something for someone else, if I'm a people pleaser. So that feeling of personal feelings of security and self-confidence is totally based on getting that approval of you.
Right.
And so they're very fearful of being viewed by others as like lazy or non-caring or selfish.
So really it is selfish, though.
It's totally selfish.
Because they're thinking more about how people see them and react to them than they are whether or not they are being the best mother, let's say, by getting more rest or not doing Johnny's science fair project.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, let's teach Johnny how to do it himself and suffer the consequences if he didn't do it, et cetera. But so they stress. Oh, my gosh, this is huge. I mean, we've opened a big can of worms here, Doctor, because I believe this applies to a lot of people or people that they know that they have to interact with.
And I think a lot of people can be vulnerable to this on different levels or with different relationships and maybe not even realize that's what they're doing.
We've talked a lot about parents, but I think a lot of times this is a common problem with marriages, mm-hmm, or boyfriend, girlfriend, people you're dating, whatever. You want to make such a good impression that you perhaps go beyond the scope of who you really are just to please someone.
Absolutely.
You do everything you can to please them, and then eventually it kicks you in the head and you're not happy anyway.
Absolutely.
There you go.
That's the key to it right there. So it's very, very overwhelming.
Right.
A lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. And, you know, we've done lots of shows on what anxiety and stress does to someone.
Oh, physically and emotionally, but especially to our physical bodies, right?
Absolutely. And so they're overcommitting and they're trying to do way more than they can do.
Right.
You'll see it in friendships, church relationships. You'll see this sometimes then too.
Right. Absolutely. You know what? When we come back in a minute, we are going to take a little quiz.
All right.
Take questions. How do you know if you're a people pleaser? Stay with us and call a friend.
It looks the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. See, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. People came from miles around, everyone was there. Yoko brought a walrus, there was magic in the air. Over in the corner.
Is it time to consider a new pool enclosure or beautiful screen room for your family's enjoyment? Family-owned and operated, Boyle's Aluminum is the place to call for timely installation of all types of seamless guttering and screen enclosures. Boyle's Aluminum is A-rated on Angie's List and with the Better Business Bureau. Check out their website at boylesaluminum.com or call today for a free estimate at 727-504-9354. Mention this ad for a discount on your project. Boyle's Aluminum, treating you like family with honest and reliable service.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Song. All right. Welcome back to Go Yard. And this is Mama Mac along with my co-host, Dr. Angel Falzoni. And we just got a text in from some good friends, Andy and Bernadette Garcia in Texas, who are listening tonight to the show. And they were able to get it in loud and clear. So that's good. And they just, they sent a nice text. That's good.
Awesome.
So good to hear from them, isn't it?
It is.
And what an interesting topic. Folks, if you're just now joining us in the middle of the show, we are talking about people pleasing, the trap that it is, and what do we do about it. And, of course, our resident expert, Dr. Angel, is a PhD and licensed mental health counselor and has her practice and deals with a whole lot of people pleasers, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And so we promised you 10 questions. If you got a pen, why don't you jot them down real quick? Or why don't you kind of take a mental note or write it on your hand or something if you are saying yes to some of these questions. 10 questions to help you know whether or not you are a people pleaser. We all are, to an extent.
We all can be, to an extent. Absolutely. Any of us can be vulnerable at some aspect in our life or some relationship at some degree.
Right. But this is people who are really over the edge.
It's kind of taking control.
There you go. What's the first question, doctor?
Do you feel guilty or as if you let someone down if you say no?
Okay.
That feeling guilty, we should be able to say no in our relationship.
We should be able to. And it's hard sometimes to say no, isn't it? A lot of people have a hard time with that. But if we're feeling guilty about it on a consistent basis,
then we need to look at, we may be a people pleaser. You know, kind of like,
I gotcha.
How do you know if you're a redneck?
How do you know if you're a redneck? All right.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that.
Right.
So, are we pulling up some Jeff Foxworthy?
Yeah, I think we are. One of those is if you walked your kid to school and because you're both in the fifth grade, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Or if you just forget to brush your tooth.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Wow, we're rabbit trailing.
Or if you lost your car in the front yard because you haven't mowed forever. How do you know if you're a redneck? All right, how do you know if you're a people pleaser?
There we go. Are you the go-to person for all your family and friends?
Ooh.
You may be a people pleaser.
You may be a people pleaser. I love it, doctor. You're good. You're getting into this.
I am.
The go-to person, that is a really red flag because there's some people who love to be that person.
Yes. And so that is definitely a huge flag that you can be a people pleaser because they're just trained to come to you.
They're just trained to come to you. Okay, that was number two question. Number three, how do you know if you're a people pleaser?
Do you agree to help others even if you do not have the time or resources? You may be a people pleaser.
You may be a people pleaser, yes. Because you don't have time, you don't have the resources, but you go to an extent. I mean, you go way out of the way to do whatever needs to be done.
And then you're really stressed because you're like, how the heck am I going to do this?
And then you're resentful because you said yes.
How dare you put this on me?
Why did you even
ask
me?
I have three kids and I'm a single mom and da-da-da-da-da.
Woo, you may be a people pleaser. Number four, if
you are often pressed for time or late, you may be a people pleaser.
Woo! Is that the music from Deliverance? That's scary. Woo! I remember that show scared me many, many years ago. All right. So pressed for time or late. Why would people be late if they were a people pleaser?
Why do you correlate that? Well, because anybody who has a need in between where you got to go, you have to meet that.
You have to
so
meet
you
that.
So you get stuck up in drama and things and happening. And I can remember going to an event or seeing a parties, and this one person would just sit in the parking lot on the phone because someone else was having a crisis. So they committed to this event, and then they never showed up
because
they got to the parking lot.
I have seen that, too. Mm-mm-mm. Okay, so you may be a people pleaser if, number five.
If you are afraid of being called selfish.
Ooh. Ooh. Really?
Yeah. If you have a fear of someone calling you selfish.
Wow.
Because here's the deal. If you're self-confident, you know, I help people. I set my boundaries and say no. So if you told me I was selfish, I would say, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I know who I am and I know that I'm not.
Very good.
And so if I'm afraid you're going to call me that, then I may be a people pleaser.
Right, because if you're afraid of that, you're going to say yes to things that you know you can't do or don't have time to do or don't want to do. What about just don't want to do?
Absolutely. Yeah, sometimes you just
don't
feel like
do.
It.
Don't want to do. You know, I really don't want to take your kids all week long, you know, to wherever.
But here's the deal. When you're confident in who you are and what your characteristics are and what your values are, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. It doesn't change who I am.
But people pleasers aren't confident.
They aren't. And that's why we talked about insecurity last week, because that's the core of a lot of this.
Whoa.
But when you are confident, it doesn't matter if you agree with me or like me or not. I mean, I'm still going to be okay.
Wow. You need to go back and listen to last week if you missed it. And it should be on our website by now. Our webmaster probably put it on this week. And that was Overcoming Insecurity. And so you may be a people pleaser if, number six.
If your relationships or friendships feel one-sided, like you do most of the work.
Yeah. I know people like that. I know situations like that. I've been in those before.
Yeah. You know, relationships should be a little bit of give and a little bit of take and fairly balanced.
Right.
You know, sometimes one person is going through needs and they're more of a taker, and then other times they're more of a giver.
Right.
But overall, there should be a balance. And when there's not, boom, red flag, you may be a people pleaser.
By the way, I'm going to say this phone number again. If anybody wants to call in and comment or ask a question to the famous Dr. Angel, that number is 727-441-3000. And some of you have been texting in, and you can do that at 727-888-4171. We love hearing your comments. If you're listening to this show later on Starcom Media Network, we won't be live, so the best way for you to reach us with your comments is 727-888-4171, our Google text number, and also our email, goyard2014@gmail.com. Number, you know what? You missed one from my notes. Do you avoid?
Oh, I did.
F. What does that say? Talk about that.
Do you avoid conflict or confrontation?
Ooh.
You might be a people pleaser.
You might be. Conflict or confrontation. Boy, it's so true.
It is true. That is, do they avoid it? Because they need everyone to be in harmony.
Right. They need everybody to be happy with them, everybody to like them and all that. So they're going to avoid those things. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was, I think, number six or seven. Number seven, I believe it was. Yes. So number eight.
Do you fear people will stop liking you if you say no?
Oh.
You might be a people pleaser.
You might be.
No.
Yeah, and I think that's a root of a lot of problems with people pleasers. They want everybody to like them. We mentioned this earlier in the show.
Which is why this cycle is so addictive, because if I have this fear, first of all, that you're going to think negative of me, and I really need to know that you're thinking positive of me, and then maybe I won't have this relationship with you, and my self-esteem is based on being needed by you.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big threat.
Big
if
threat.
I'm not pleasing people.
Right.
And so those are the cycles we have to get down and break what's going on under the core.
Oh, absolutely. And being aware of it, I mean, that's one reason we do this show, is to point out things that most people go through, a lot of people mm-hmm. go through. And so it's time to expose that.
Oh, absolutely. We got to put some exposure on this. Do you feel like you're taken advantage of?
Oh,
you might be a people pleaser.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. That's a huge one, because I think, like I said earlier in the show, a lot of people do all this, but in their hearts or in their emotions, they are resentful.
Mm-hmm.
They're mad that they were asked. Mm-hmm. Right?
They become a martyr. How dare this? Woe is me. Look at all this I have to do. And they can take on their own martyr syndrome. And then, feeds into that attention of, oh, you're so wonderful. You're an amazing person. Look at everything you do. And it just feeds the cycle, mm-hmm. continues the cycle.
Gosh, this stuff is so important.
And it's deep, and it goes deep, and that's what makes it so challenging to change. Do you sometimes feel angry or resentful of the person asking for your help, but you would never say anything?
Uh-huh.
You might be a people pleaser.
Bong. All right. I'd like to hear that Deliverance music again, because that just really applies to a lot of this, don't you think? Thank you, Engineer Chris.
Love it, love it.
Love it. So the problem, Doctor, is real. It is current. It is applicable to most people's lives, that they either are battling some of these tendencies, or they know people in their life who do this.
Or they like having people pleasers in their lives, because then they have somebody doing everything for them.
Oh, yeah. Option number three, door number three.
There are several doors in this.
Whoa, wow. So I guess that begs the question, Doctor, what's so wrong with being a people pleaser? I mean, I understand we've talked about all the, kind of complications of it, but are there any risks to continuing this behavior?
Definitely risks. One of the biggest ones, first of all, the whole core of what happens is it's placing a large amount of pressure and stress on the individual.
Okay.
And so it's stress, and we've done many episodes on stress and what it does.
We have,
so
yes.
One of the big things is it reduces the immune system functions. And so when I'm all this pressure, I'm not getting rest, I'm not recovering, then my immune system is threatened. I'm more susceptible to getting sick.
Yes.
Coughs, colds, all that stuff going around. So then my body's more run down. But guess what? A people pleaser doesn't stop when they're sick. They're still pleasing people.
Yeah.
And so they don't let their bodies heal. And so that's a big, big one. Their sleep patterns are interrupted. People who tend to fall into people pleasing cycles don't sleep well, because they have to figure out how they're going to do all this.
Right. And because they're like hamsters on a little wheel.
They are.
They're
going around, okay, I already told this person I'd pick their kid up at this time, but I have to get my kid at this time, and then I have to... They can't let their brain stop.
Right.
They're overwhelmed.
And it doesn't, we've talked a lot about parents, but let's say an office situation, Doctor, where somebody is really wanting to please the boss and this other person and that other person and the ancillary people and whatever, and they go through their whole day at such a level of stress because they're not getting their work done that they need to get done. You want to comment on that?
Oh, that happens very common in the workplace.
Right.
And so, right, they're not getting what they need to get done, so their part of their job is falling slack, and they're trying to pick up other roles, trying to do things they may not have the training to do,
right.
the knowledge to do, or, they're not doing it well.
Right.
And so... it definitely leaves their job vulnerable for even keeping it.
Absolutely. Job security is a risk.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this before we go to another risk. In relationships, we've talked about parents a lot and children. We've talked about friendships.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about now the job situation. What about the person who's in a relationship that's either a marriage or living together or dating or whatever? How does this problem affect a relationship?
Oh, absolutely. And so these are the kind of
relationship.
It can. And so what happens is these are the kind of relationships that people from the outside looking in, all of a sudden, one person just kind of walks out the door and everyone's like, what happened?
Right.
I thought you guys were so happy.
Yeah,
because one
exactly.
person just had taken the overwhelm for so long that they just can't do it anymore. So they're disabling. They don't have a partnership. And any type of intimate relationship needs to be a partnership.
Right.
And it's, giving, both of us are giving and creating this life that we want. And so when one person is taking all the role, they're disabling the other person for carrying their part of the partnership.
Right, right.
We don't have a healthy partnership, and we're going to have one that's very volatile to crumbling.
Right. Wow. Serious stuff.
It is really serious stuff. And you'll see this a lot. And this really goes, and I wasn't going to bring this in, but it really goes hand in hand with like addiction. When some person is having problems with drugs
yes.
or alcohol,
yes.
people pleasers attract.
And they do.
These
yes.
type of relationships. Why? Because
yes.
they have needs and they think they can fix them.
They always think they can fix them. And I've seen this for years. I have actually participated in this myself with one of my children. And it's been a lifelong struggle dealing with this. And when you have somebody in your life that has addiction issues or alcohol issues, the people pleaser really wants everything to be quiet and calm. They right. want everything to be at peace. They don't want any problem. They don't want any acting out. They don't want anybody upset. They want the addict to quit, but they enable.
They totally enable, because they're picking up the slack of the other person that they're not able to do because of their addiction.
Right.
They're keeping it hidden and in a secret, so that they can't get help. And so
right.
if things are being taken care of for the addict, and he still or she is still able to live a comfortable life and has this relationship, and there's no cost to this addiction, why would I change?
Right.
So they kind of create the system where the addict has no motivation for help.
Right. I've heard it said, and we're going to do a series on addiction
soon. We are.
Soon.
And that's why I didn't really want to bring it in, but it yeah. really goes
But
right
it goes
here.
Along right here, because so many people struggle as the enablers. And
yes.
then they, when the person, the addict, fails in whatever, goes back on the whatever, or doesn't give up what they promised they're going to give up, or whatever the case may be. The enabler is that people pleaser in this
right.
case, don't you think?
Right.
Codependence.
That's that codependency. And so they're allowing this person to continue in the self-destructive negative behavioral
right.
pattern. Whatever it is, the addiction can be a lot of things. It can be gambling. It doesn't have to just be substances.
It's also can be people pleasing.
It can be people pleasing. So here's the deal. So you're depleting your energy and your resources. So you're physically and emotionally just exhausted.
Right.
You know, the line I use a lot is you can't give what you don't have.
Ooh, I like that.
And so if we're not taking that time to refuel ourselves as people, take our rest, make sure we're taking care of ourselves, meeting our own needs, and we're trying to give out what we don't have, we have limited supply. Our body will stop. You know how our body stops? We'll get some kind of disease or chronic health condition that makes it stop.
Right.
It'll stop us.
It will, because after so many years or so many long periods of time of trying to balance all those balls with however many people, especially if you have an addict in your life, and they know how to play it.
Yeah, they do.
They do. And so what it does is it depletes your energy, it depletes your peace, it depletes your joy. It depletes your finances.
Oh, I think
your strength.
It zaps everything.
Everything, doesn't
and here's
it?
The deal. You know, and a lot of individuals I've talked to with this issue, a lot of times they don't realize it until it's really late. You know, I've dealt with a lot of younger people dealing with extremely chronic diseases, MS, cancers, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I have to change.
Right.
Or I'm going to die.
Right.
It becomes a life or death to them. And they might be in their late 20s or early 30s. So really premature. And then they're willing to go back and relook and make that change. But there's been so much damage to their system that it's not going to reverse.
Right.
And so I want us to stop this before our body stops it for us.
You know, and that's one thing we like to do on Go Yard is present the medical and the emotional toll that so many of these issues that we talk about, very concrete, relevant issues, how they pertain to our physical, mental, emotional well-being.
Absolutely.
That's one of our goals.
And you know, one type of person that I've noticed can sometimes fall prey to this is people of faith. Because
okay.
our faith teaches us to reach out and to help our person.
Yes, yes.
And to do for others. So they think they're just doing their call of their faith and their spiritual life.
What are you speaking to me about that for, huh?
I'm not.
I know.
But they're doing it to their own detriment. And that we are called, you know, their body is called to be the temple. And so they think they're doing all this good. And they are. But they aren't.
And they're running their
people pleasing, overwhelming
exactly.
their systems.
And I will admit to this, okay? Because you don't have to tell me that because I know it. Because for years, being a pastor for 30 some years or more, that's been something that people have said, you know, quit trying to make everybody happy. Quit trying to solve problems for everyone. Quit trying to always be there. And this is something I've really struggled with, but I am a lot better, I can say, today than I was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, 30 years ago on this topic, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I've seen what it does when I am always there. People transfer the help It centers in the person instead of God, mm-hmm. or trying to put that responsibility on the person who needs to take that action themselves. Do you know what? Did all that make sense?
It does.
All right. Do you want to summarize all that?
Well, I hear what you're saying, and it's a big vulnerability, and especially with faith, because we're believing we're doing our action, our call to action with our faith,
right.
But we have to even have boundaries with that. And I
yes.
can tell you, in my
yes.
early 30s, it hit me hard. I was extremely active, overcommitted myself very much in my church system, and to the point when I was given a very negative diagnosis, and I was physically still trying to continue doing all the stuff I was doing, and I was working with young adolescent girls, and my body wouldn't let me do it anymore. And I realized, you know, they'll take as much as they can take from mm-hmm. me
sure.
until I can't give anymore.
People
and then
will.
They're going to put someone else there.
That's right.
And so if I don't protect me,
right.
no one else is going
That's
to.
Exactly
and
right.
I learned that lesson in my early 30s from a very difficult lesson, but mm-hmm. it took that disease.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, it does before mm-hmm. they're like, oh, my gosh, I got to change this.
Right.
I have to protect myself.
And it really goes back to something we've said for this whole year that we've been on the air. This is now, we had our anniversary 2 weeks ago. The night that you got stuck in traffic, Dr. Angel, remember that? Do you happen
You're
to remember
gonna
that?
You're never going to let me live that
I'm
down.
Never going to. But good old Nan came right in and helped out for a few minutes. But, you know, the bottom line that we've talked about for a year is it's okay to say no.
No. Just say no.
It's okay to say no. It's okay to say I can't and not explain it.
It's not only okay, it's necessary.
It's necessary. And this has been something for me in real estate and in the ministry that I have had, and with my family, my kids and grandkids, 9 grandkids, and sometimes it's okay for me to say I can't do that and not have to explain, well, I got this appointment, then I got that appointment, and then I'm going to be running over here, and then I can't be at 5 places at once. It's okay. I'm teaching myself that, and I'm learning it. And I want to be around here for quite a few more years. And as a result of that, I got to take care of me, and I'm learning mm-hmm. that. So I apply this to me. I own this. You like that term, don't
I
you,
do
doctor?
Love that term.
Own it.
Own it.
You want to explain that term?
Oh, that's
why do you
just,
love that
I
so much?
I acknowledge it. I'm taking responsibility for it, and now I can take steps to changing it.
Woo!
I can do something. It's your power.
It's your power. Take your power.
And so here's the deal. People pleasing, you're giving your power away.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
And so we need to take our power. We need to take our power of ourselves. And so kind of getting through these last few risks, you know, it can lead to clinical symptoms of clinical depression and clinical anxiety.
Wow.
You know, which incapacitates us in a
yes.
lot of ways.
Yes.
We're at a greater risk for the heart-related diseases, stress-related diseases, and if you don't know what they are, go back and listen to our shows on stress and
right.
anxiety, because we really went over those in details. And we are creating and nurturing unhealthy relationships
yeah.
when we're people-pleasers.
Mm.
So we create it, and then we keep feeding it, and then we wonder why this is this way. What you feed grows, what you starve dies.
Oh, gosh. I've been ringing this bell so much tonight. Why don't you repeat that one more time?
What you feed grows, and what you starve dies.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're feeding this pattern of unhealthy relationships, we're growing them, and we're making them stronger, but unhealthy stronger.
Ooh.
And so I really challenge our audience to go back and, you know, listen to our You May Be a People Pleaser questions and see, ask yourself those really. Do
Ten
I fall
questions.
In any of these questions?
Yes.
Am I, you know, is this my motive? When somebody asks something of you, ask yourself these questions. Am I afraid to say no?
Right.
Am I afraid you're going to think I'm selfish? Am I trying to avoid a confrontation? Am I feeling like this relationship's one-sided? And if you're starting to check some boxes, boom.
And if you're afraid that the person will leave you
yeah.
in a relationship, if mm-hmm. you don't do everything they want, or the person at work is afraid that, you know, if I don't go do above and beyond and stay till 9 o'clock at night instead of getting off when everybody else does, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you find that you're that go-to person with all mm-hmm. your family and friends, look at that. Maybe you need to start empowering them to handle some of their own issues.
Whoa, that's actually a gift to them, don't you think?
It's such a gift to them. Because guess what? If I have everyone trained to come to me and something happens to me, they're really lost now, aren't they?
You know, I've made it a point through the years with my sons and my daughter and my grandkids to when they ask my opinion, I'll give it, but I'm careful how I give it. And I try my best to just get to the point where, well, what were you thinking on this? You know, put it right back on them and see what they say. And you're trying to get them to talk through it, perhaps, mm-hmm. but not tell them what to do.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because one of my favorite aspects of my job is I train therapists to be therapists. And when I'm working with them.
And you have a lot of people under you, and we're very proud of you.
Well, thank you. And when I'm working with them, my first thing for them is I want to see how you're going to do it. Go do it. Go write this report. Go give me a biopsychosocial. Go write this progress note. Go make a treatment plan. And then let's bring it to the table together. Instead of, you know, they would come to me and say, oh, will you do this with me? Or, will you, you know, can you do it for me so I can see? Yeah, no. I want to see what you can bring to the table first.
No.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. I want to see what you're bringing because I want to enable you to think and process for yourself, and we learn by doing. And so that's what we have to start training the people in our lives, empower them to do.
You've done that with
they
your three sons.
They become more confident.
Haven't you?
Yes,
with your three sons. You are one of the best mothers I've ever known.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you. And I love the advice you give on the air about mothering and parenting because you've lived it and I've seen it in your life because I've known you for a few years. And you are everything you say you are. So, and you're good. Your sons are amazing. And, you know, we love them. They're great. They're great kids. And, you know, even that with the decision that Anthony's about to go into the Army just in a couple weeks.
Yes, ma'am.
And this is a huge decision that you've had to go through. And I know you let him do it.
It was completely 100% his choice. And he'd sit down, Mom, what do you think I should do? My answer was, I think you should do what you think you need to do.
Oh, how many times have we rung the bell tonight, Chris? This has been, woo, there you go, buddy. All right. Wow, I love doing this show with you, Dr. Angel. And we've had.
What about me?
Of course,
Chris.
I'm
sorry, Chris. We didn't involve you much tonight. I'm sorry. You're just wonderful, the best engineer around. And 53 shows or 54 shows, I'm not sure now, probably 54 that we have. And most of them, all of them except for the last two, are on our website. So go there, goyard2014.org, go to radio broadcasts, and you can hear these. And they'll just be a blessing for you. And we want to hear from you when you do. 727-888-4171. That's our Google text number. Dr. Angel, do you have a last parting word?
I actually do. You know what? Ask yourself these questions. Use this week to self-reflect and join us next week because next week we are going to talk all about how do I overcome people-pleasing.
Oh, my. What a
great
teaser.
I'm going to give you your power. I'm going to give you some great tools, and it's going to be exciting.
I'm so glad you're so excited about this topic. Woo!
How many Red Bulls did she have before
she
the show?
She had 8 Red Bulls this afternoon. No,
forget
I'm
the
5-hour
energy. She had like a 10-hour energy or something. Or
no.
all five hours rolled into one.
You know, no, honestly, she didn't. But it's so cool because look how this show turned out. Excellent. Dr. Angel.
This has been Dr. Angel.
And this has been Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard. To see you next week. Bye.
Good night.
Love it.
Let my life take two. Oh, Lord, have mercy on this weary soul.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay.
Special report, college campus shooting.